I'm back, and with a vengeance. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. First, right off the bat, I have an alert. I want everybody to do exactly what I'm going to tell you to do right now. I want you to go to your phone, and I want you to dial this number, 1-202-456-1111. That's 1-202-456-1111. That's the number, ladies and gentlemen, of the President's hotline. He is conducting a little sneaky national poll to demonstrate that a majority of Americans support a ban on semi-automatic weapons. I want you to call them if you agree with us and with the principles that this nation was laid down by our forefathers. I want you to call that number now, 1-202-456-1111, and tell the President that you would consider any legislation restricting the right of Americans to keep and bear arms as an act of treason. Do it now, 1-202-456-1111. For those of you who have been listening to this broadcast since its inception and have heard our entire 33 hours of the mystery religion of Babylon will recognize a lot of the symbolism in this paragraph I'm going to read you from an article by Beverly Geber in the November 1993 issue of Training Magazine. I quote, Managing chaos. She says, "This is my personal favorite, if only because of the butterfly factor. If you've ever heard of chaos theory, you know what I'm talking about, because the butterfly factor is the only thing mere mortals can understand about it. Chaos theory comes from a 1987 book by James Gleick called Chaos, Making a New Science. Gleick describes how scientists over the past 35 years developed a theory that order and chaos coexist and give rise to each other in our everyday world. Definitions like that don't illuminate anything for the average person, ergo the butterfly factor. According to chaos theory, a butterfly flapping its wings over Tokyo can produce a storm system over New York. Remember, you learned about the secret societies, and you learned specifically about the motto of the higher echelons. When you get up to the people who are really in control and know what they're doing, their motto is Ordo Ab Chao, and they are, in fact, the ones who call themselves the Illumined Ones, or the plural, in Latin, Illuminati. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. Don't go away. We have a guest tonight, and I think you're going to enjoy this program.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. But the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget.
from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where the pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.
Ladies and gentlemen, many of you have written, some of you have called, and asked what has happened to Tom Donahue. Well, our answer, truthfully, has been, we didn't know. We knew that he was having some legal difficulties with the federal government, and we thought that he followed us, followed our 6 o'clock Mountain Time show on WWCR. However, lying in bed these past few days, I have discovered that it wasn't him in that time slot. But the people who are in that time slot are telling people that they're there because he wants them there, and that just isn't true. So tonight, we're going to get the truth about what's happening there, and we're going to give Tom Donahue some airtime here on the hour of the time, simply because irregardless of what he may or may not think of me or my ideas or this program, I believe that Tom is coming from a point of concern. I think that he really cares about this country, and in our cursory investigations, we have found no reason to believe otherwise. We think that he has been treated very badly, both by the federal government and by the people who follow this program. So we're going to give Tom the next hour to talk about that or any other subject that he wishes, and I, of course, will join in from time to time because it's my show. Welcome to the Hour of Time.
Will, thanks so much for the invitation. Very gracious of you, and I'm glad to be able to talk to the listeners that have been following me in particular on shortwave for the last 6 months. You're indeed correct that Viking International Trading was a sponsor, just like they are the daytime program, which we were playing the best of at night on the shortwave, and we had an agreement. The agreement was simple and clear. It was Tom interview Jim twice a month on the shortwave. We'll sponsor the program. We'll have the open and closing billboards and other spots from time to time. They had the first 5 or 6 minutes to do open commentary anytime. That was fine. But the bottom line was that it was America's Town Forum, Tom Donahue radio program, patriotism in action, and that's what was supposed to air on a consistent basis. I found out through listeners and through other concerned persons that my program was hijacked just for a couple nights. Apparently, they decided to play coin wars, and they were concerned about the competition and how they just felt arbitrarily that they could just, because of being a sponsor, they could hijack the program, and they did. So I talked to them, and I said, let's make sure we get the program scheduled out. And we've got all these fine interviews that have already been done. Listeners are clamoring to hear. And so I thought it settled down. Well, lo and behold, they decided they wanted to cut back the amount of contribution to my program as a charter sponsor, which I said was completely unacceptable. And I was told 2 weeks ago that Jim and Mike would take over, the Viking boys would take over my program, and need not bother scheduling any further programs. So I'm just pleased to announce that Craig Smith, your sponsor as well, Swiss America Trading, who quite frankly sponsored my program in the early days when I was on local radio in Idaho, and we have a long past of Sun Radio Network, People's Network, Business Radio, and Talk America. So I'm glad to have Craig back, and my program, like yours, Will, fits very well with the coin brokerage houses because we believe in constitutional money. We believe in hard assets. We believe in financial protection. But I have never had a sponsor that tried to hijack my program, and I sent them a fax. And matter of fact, maybe I'll just read the facts so the listeners know the facts, F-A-C-T-S. And the facts that I sent them today, F-A-X. It said, expiration and termination notice of all agreements and associations with America First vis-a-vis Viking International Trading. This fact serves notice of complete termination of any and all agreements and associations. Reasons for non-renewal and termination are as follows. Viking International Trading has dishonored its sponsorship agreement with America's Talent Forum, Tom Donahue radio program on WWCR International Shortwave Radio. The vile nature of Viking International Trading's hostile takeover, radio hijacking in the name of coin wars and ego gratification, coin jockeys, not DJs, but CJs on the air. This was radio rape of my dedicated, patriotic listeners, and it's unpardonable, and this will be rectified. Number two, Viking International Trading was willful in its subversion of our more than fair advertising rate. The reduction demand without justification requires repudiation of token bones. Viking International Trading, this is the third part, dishonored radio recorded pledges that Jim Cederstrom made and said that for every sale during our live radio interviews that were made, a percentage would go to my defense fund. And Jim told me just before Christmas a check was in the mail. It was never received. It was never sent. Fourth, false and misleading representations and characterizations on my reputation, radio audience, and markets to justify their rapacious nature. Now, obviously, ego gets involved. People think they're radio stars or personalities, and I guess the Viking boys feel that way, number one. And number two, I guess they figured, let's cut Tom out of the deal. We'll do it ourselves and save a lot of money. Well, they don't realize that listeners on shortwave and on the other three satellite delivery systems on Talk America Radio Network, coast to coast and border to border, were investigating and considering purchases or were clients of Viking because they thought that these people were patriots that believed in the cause, believed in the type of program I did, but I guess that was not to be the case.
And the way they handled it, everybody thought that they were doing that with your blessings. Is that correct?
They were certainly misled. They were deceived. I never at any time wanted to relinquish my shortwave program. I thought that they were patriots. They believed in the cause. Matter of fact, especially now with me being under federal indictment, if anything, I didn't think that a sponsor that was a charter sponsor that were patriots that believed in getting the message out, telling the truth, and putting the spotlight on the cockroaches. Cockroaches can't hide the light of day, and that's what we've tried to do with our broadcast like you do, Will.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think that in my time of need that I would be left with pretty much naked. I mean, in a situation where, if anything, I thought there'd be increased support. And it was promised, and I guess all those people that bought the gold and the silver and the precious metal rare coin sets and whatever else, I guess they made out with the money, and nothing went to my legal defense fund.
So part of the deal was, part of that was supposed to go to your legal defense fund.
Correct. That's Jim. We've got him on tape. He made those announcements. He volunteered that he thought that was a great idea. And I said, God bless you, Jim. That's wonderful. Really appreciate all the help we can get because my attorney, who is a Christian, who was referred by the American Center for Law and Justice, came in with a very modest retainer. He believes in my case. He believes in my cause. And I thought that, if anything, the Viking International Trading, with the business that was generated over the many months, would be more than glad to, you know, pitch in. They volunteered. And like I say, there was never a check in the mail, and I certainly didn't receive it.
Well, my listeners have been warned about this several times. You know, I don't get on here and badmouth other people or other sponsors or other companies, but I tell them the truth that I did investigate Swiss America Trading. Several people applied to sponsor my program. And I not only investigated Swiss America Trading, but I investigated a whole bunch of other of these coin people because they all wanted to sponsor my show. They know that patriots are into constitutional money. They know that we're all trying to prepare ourselves for what's coming. What I found out was Swiss America Trading was the only really honest one of the group that I could honestly stake my personal reputation on and allow to sponsor my program. And by the way, folks, we're not doing this with Tom Donahue tonight because Swiss America Trading is going to sponsor him. In fact, I didn't know that Swiss America Trading was going to sponsor his new show until Tom Donahue just now said it. I did this simply because what's happened to Tom is wrong. It is wrong. And I've warned you people over and over again about this, and I've told you that the only place that you're going to get the straight, skinny, the real information, that you're going to get everything in writing, that all your questions will be answered, and before you even allowed to be shipped anything from Swiss America Trading, everything is taped so that there's no misunderstanding on your part or theirs. So,
yeah, Will, I was out there. Craig flew me out there. As I switched from People's Network to Business Radio Network, he said, Tom, I know we've had some misunderstandings. I know you've been fed a lot of information, but come out and stay in my home. Come out and break bread with us. Come out and see how we do business. He said, Tom, we're not going to be the cheapest on the block, but we are going to provide the very best service in the industry. And he said, we're going to offer competitive prices, fair prices. We tape every transaction so that if someone says, you said this, or I said that, or we agreed to this, he said, we can go back and review the tape. And I watched the transactions take place. So I've seen it for myself, and I've been there in Phoenix, and I know that's the case.
Do you feel like talking a little bit about your legal difficulties with the federal government? If you don't, it's okay. But
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity, Will.
Great. What's happening? What's going on? I don't really know what's happening with it. I just know that they seem to be picking on a lot of patriots for things that really don't amount to a hill of beans. And I've been told by people who say they know that that's the situation that you're in. But I want you to tell everybody, because they call me and want to know what's going on, and I don't know what to tell them.
Well, Will, I spend so much time exposing the enemy and putting the spotlight on them, helping, whether it be the Davidians in their cause or Weaver in his case, whatever. When I get calls and faxes and people saying, Tom, can you help? Can you do a program on this or that? I do it. And I guess it's hard for me to talk about my own case and my own circumstances. It's just a little bit difficult because I try to put the spotlight on others, try to help in their causes. But because you've asked, I'll try to tell you as much as I can. I founded the American Liberty Association back in 1984 in Dallas, Texas, where now I reside. I've come back to fight my legal case, and also it was perfect timing because Ron Engelman's not on the air. There's not many patriots on the air in Texas, and so I'm kind of working with the various patriot groups and we're getting all the information out on the Davidian trial that we possibly can, working with the Fully Informed Jury Association and the Citizens for Legal Reform and many other fine groups throughout Texas. But with the way I got into this movement, I read Nundeer Called a Conspiracy in 1982, along with Erwin Schiff's book on exposing the tax system, how anyone can stop paying income tax. And it was from those two angles, from the tax activist patriotic angle and from understanding who runs the world, that I said, I'm going to commit my life to this. You know, I'm going to fight these conspirators to the day I die, or to the day we win, or the day Christ returns, and I'll fight the good fight when he does return. So I don't believe we're going to be raptured out of this. If anything, we might be caught up in the clouds, but we're coming back down. I don't think it's biblically that we're... I think it's an escapist philosophy, but that's just my personal read on it.
I started to agree with you, and nothing came out. I don't know if I made a noise that anybody could hear or not, but you're right on. Nobody's going to be raptured. We're all going to go through the same hardships together. And all these people sitting around saying, I'm not going to get involved with what goes on in the world because I'm going to be raptured. I tell you right now, you might lose your mind when you find out what's going to happen, and you ain't going anywhere.
Well, with my my activities, quite frankly, I was just looking at the Dallas Morning News article that was done on the American Liberty Association, a group that I founded and directed. And the title of it is Monetary Revolutionaries. It has a picture of a patriot with a briefcase, and it shows money sticking out. And this is the Dallas Life magazine, which is the slick publication similar to the Parade magazine for the Dallas Morning News. Of all the groups and all the individuals, they picked us as the group representing the Constitution in 1987 for the bicentennial, September 20th, 1987. This was published. Now, Constitution Day is September 17th. Now, it says here, monetary revolutionaries, they believe a secret conspiracy rules the world. They believe having a Social Security number gives ground to the enemy. They believe what they do with their money is nobody's business. And they talk to me as well as many of our members. They talked to some of the speakers that we sponsored. We brought people like Pastor Everett Sullivan to town, Eustace Mullins, author of World Order and Secrets of the Federal Reserve, Congressman George Hansen, Paul Desfossas, President of the IRS Whistleblowers. We were constantly bringing in speakers to expose the enemy, to tell the truth, to shed light where and heat where it was needed. And it was 1988. And we were still putting on our rallies, our seminars. What the American Liberty Association was a First Amendment freedom organization similar to the National Commodity and Barter Association or Franklin Sanders Group, the Money Changer in Tennessee, or perhaps the Freedmen Education Association in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And quite frankly, I was in a sales position learning a lot of the Patriot theories and facts. As I was working out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and that's where I met Vern Holland. That's where I learned about the concept of warehouse banking and the First Amendment associations. And so I decided to transfer to Dallas. I resigned from my sales position in college textbook publishing as a marketing rep and founded an organization called American Liberty Association. Started to sponsor seminars and educational activities here. We had a bookstore. We provided financial services for our members, check cashing, bill paying service, as well as they could purchase precious metals, gold and silver. And the thing that we did, unlike banks, we protected their right to privacy. They selected a 10-digit number, whatever number they wanted, and that's how we identified their account. And then we processed the checks and the money orders and the financial transactions through standard banks. And this way, it gave them the respect, it gave them a right to privacy that banks were not going to afford them. They wanted their SS number, their socialist insecurity number. And we didn't require that. We were a private association. We were founded on Christian and constitutional principles. And so, believe me, I was under the magnifying glass. I was targeted back then. So they were just waiting their time. I mean, they hit the NCBA, and many of your listeners probably know about their dilemmas in Denver. They went after Franklin Sanders, and thank God, in his case, all 17 had decided, we're not going to do any stinking plea bargains. They all were exonerated. They were all found not guilty of their conspiracy charges and their willful failure to file income taxes. John Voss was charged with willful failure to file. He won his case in front of a jury. Vern Holland, they had a hung jury. Five of the jurors out of the 12 decided they were going to join the Freedmen Education Association. They were so impressed with their literature.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I feel that a miracle is going to happen in my case. But I got involved, like millions of Americans, in a program called the Peso Exchange Program. The Base Exchange Program, I found out about it through other members. I have always had people coming in and offering multi-level this or this investment. But what was different about this was I felt that they were telling the truth. I felt that they were honorable people. And it made sense that, wait a minute, who has the most money in the world? It's people that deal with banking. They deal with currency. They deal in financial activities. And so what Mr. Johnson, Bob Johnson, proposed, and he's apparently been doing this for years, He would trade dollars for pesos. He had Mexican businesses that wanted dollars. They trusted in the Federal Reserve notes more than they did the pesos. And I called down in San Diego, and he was there from Thursday through Sunday, and he made these financial transactions. He paid each investor 12% a week on their money, and some of us got a couple percentage points higher than that that managed the group. And so I didn't solicit business. We just simply had members of our organization that said, "Tom, we heard about this peso program. Are you involved? Or, hey, how can I get involved?" And so after I put my money in, tested it, did as much background search as I could, I even told my members, "Well, you can talk to Bob Johnson. You can talk to Bill Gray. You can find out for yourself. Put it to the test. Don't just trust me. And if you feel good about it after praying and meeting with people, then for sure you can be a part of the program." So I was one of many that allow people to be introduced to the program, and many of the peso exchange investors joined our organization because they wanted to use the financial services that we would avail to them. Well, the program worked very well. I got involved in August of 88, and we started to encounter problems in December of 88. At that point in time, I stopped all investments into the program. I blew the whistle. I issued six memorandum over the next month and a half advising our people that we were in a recovery mode, that we would not accept any more investments, and it possibly could be a scheme or a scam, but we didn't know. Our motive was we need to get the money back that was invested in the program. My life was threatened by many brokers and also the number two man in the program that said that I was a spoiler. And that how dare I spoil or upset the apple cart. My life was threatened by Bill Gray. My life was threatened by others too, but I'm trying to distillate this and bring it about in a concise manner in terms of explanation. So at this time, we did everything we could to recover the money, including hiring someone that was at one time a former professional wrestler. He was a paralegal. He was a patriot, at least we thought he was. And someone that was trying to help us. I was embezzled by this individual in February of 89. He was a con man, and I guess that we were being conned and then reconned. But we did get a lot of money back. Most people got their money back. Many people today are very, they're praising God, and they still shake my hand and say, "Tom, if it wasn't for you, we'd have lost our life savings because you went to bat for us. You hired someone that collected the money, and we got our money out." I was in Hawaii for a retreat, a seminar with my fiance, along with other members and her friends and her clients. And when I got back from Hawaii, this individual forged my signature, moved the funds in cooperation with another banker. And these are two of the maggots they're using as witnesses against me. They've already signed on to plea bargains. They wanted me to plea bargain and say, "Well, you'll serve a year or two, Tom, and that'll be it." The two IRS agents that visited my home early fall of this past year. And I had no fear when the IRS agent showed up. It didn't really concern me all that much, and I figured I'm going to pump them for as much information as they think they're going to get from me. But they said, "Well, Tom, we're going to have you indicted. You know, we've been, they more or less said managed the grand jury. They've been with them for many, many months, and we've got you, and you may as well just sign on to a plea bargain." So I just wanted to find out what they had, what information they were willing to share with me, and then I just told them I'm not interested in any stinking plea bargain. I would not turn over the records or...
Hold that thought there right now, Tom. We've got to take a short break. We'll get right back to you.
My country is a bee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing.
pilgrim's price. From every mountainside, let freedom
be. You know, folks, it's a real shame to hear that the kind of thing that has happened to Tom Donahue can happen to people. And I know that many of you were in his listening audience, and all of a sudden you didn't hear him anymore, and I know you heard those guys say that Tom had asked him to do the show for him, because I know I heard him say that several times. I've heard him say a lot of other things that just are not true, absolutely are not true. One night they accused Craig Smith of owning a 9-story apartment building a 9-story building in Phoenix, Arizona. And they made it sound like that would be a terrible thing. Folks, this is the United States of America, where we have the American dream. And if you're able to work and accumulate enough money to buy a 9-story building, that is the sign of a good success story. That's the sign that you have made the American dream come true. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, unless you're a stupid, miserable, creep, Marxist socialist. Those are the only people who would criticize something like that. Well, the truth is, folks, if Craig Smith had enough money where he could buy a 9-story building, he might do that. But the truth is, he does not own a 9-story building at all. And a lot of other things are being bandied about. I know a lot of you call around the shop for the best price on coins and things, and sometimes you're thinking you're getting the best deal when you get the lowest price. The truth is, folks, you get the best deal when you deal with an honest company, when you deal with people who care about you, when you deal with people who have a buyback plan that they're willing to give to you in writing and will honor it upon demand, who give you a 14-day period to examine what you've purchased, and even if you just don't like the way it looks, they'll take it back. They'll take it back. And they'll either pay you for those coins, or they will give you coins of equal value in exchange at their option. Everything is taped. There is no grounds for misunderstanding. When you deal with Swiss America Trading, you're dealing with honest people. And I got to tell you, quite frankly, folks, all these other people, and not just on the show following this one, but all these other people started out in their career working for Craig Smith at Swiss America Trading. He taught them everything that they know. Somewhere along the line, they were either fired by Swiss America Trading, or they quit on their own and went out and started their own business. Now, it seems to me that there's something basically wrong about somebody who learns their livelihood from someone and then turns around and tries to destroy that person out of no other reason than greed, selfishness. It's wrong. It was wrong what they did to Tom Donahue, and that's why I've given him this hour on this program to say whatever he wants, explain to the world why you can't hear him on shortwave right now. But I'm glad to hear, and I did not know before this broadcast that Craig Smith was going to sponsor his new program. In fact, I didn't even know that he had a new program. What I thought is that he's still looking for a time slot on shortwave somewhere, and they had not found a sponsor yet. I know Craig Smith, however, and I know that if Tom Donahue had not come up with a sponsor, Craig Smith probably would have offered to help him simply because he's a patriot and a Christian. That I know, because I know Craig Smith. And folks, let me tell you something. You can deal with hucksters all you want to. Sooner or later, you're going to get bit. Swiss America Trading was here before they all came along, and Swiss America Trading will be here when they're all gone. If you'd like to get some honest action, if you'd like to deal with some people who really care about you and who really care about this country, and remember, folks, I don't get one single penny from Swiss America Trading. I'm not saying this because anybody pays me. And if they withdrew their support for this program and stopped paying for the airtime tomorrow, the Lord would supply the money needed for this airtime. So I don't worry about that. I accepted Swiss America Trading as a sponsor of this program because they offer a service that we all need, and I am one of their customers also. So if you'd like to get it straight this time, call Swiss America Trading at 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-236-4646. Thank them for sponsoring this program, The Hour of the Time. Mention my name, William Cooper. Ask for their new newsletter and all the other written material that you're entitled to as a listener to The Hour of the Time. And then make sure that you talk to someone there about protecting your financial future. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. And remember, folks, there was no coin wars out here. I don't participate in that kind of a thing. We've never attacked another coin company on this program. Craig Smith has never attacked any other coin company. And every time that they have attacked him, I have asked him to come on the show and explain what's going on. You know what he tells me, folks? He tells me, Bill, it's just not the Christian thing to do. I just can't do that. It doesn't feel right. And you know something? He's right. So call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Remember what's happening tonight, folks. It's happening because this man, Tom Donahue, was wronged by these people. And they are using his name to get your money. And that's why I brought him on this show. Because I despise lies, deception, and manipulation. Because that's what the enemy has used against us for all these years. And that's why we're in the position that we're in. So call Swiss America Trading right now. 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Hey, this land is safe and me, as I was walking that ribbon of highway, I saw love.
Tom, welcome back to the Hour of the Time. I hated to cut you off abruptly like that. I was waiting for a pause, and it just didn't come.
It worked just fine, Will, and I, matter of fact, it feels nice not to have to do the live read myself at this moment.
Well, why don't you pick up right where you left off? I know everybody is waiting to hear the rest of the story.
Well, before we do that, I just want to clarify something, because you and I, the first time we have talked was today, just very briefly because of your gracious offer, and then we connected on the... Matter of fact, I didn't know exactly what we were going to talk about, and I love spontaneity. That's how I do my program. I lead by the Spirit. But my program is never been interrupted for a daytime live program on the Talk America Network. It airs from 10 to noon Eastern Time on about 50 radio stations. What we were doing for shortwave was cherry-picking the very best interviews and playing those back on shortwave so I wouldn't have to do a double shift or try to recreate something that already occurred earlier in the day. And so as you know, and you've told the audience, and I've explained in more detail, that the program was radio hijacked, and the listeners were deprived of many, many interviews. We had so many good interviews over the last couple weeks that we had logged, that we had scheduled, and unfortunately had to hear the Viking boys peddle coins. And that's sad, that they've been deprived of these interviews. But back to my personal circumstances, I did everything I could to recover the funds. I was the first to blow the whistle on the peso program, even with my life threatened, and many people made out just fine. But I didn't know that the man that was helping me collect the funds was setting me up for a fall, and I learned a lot. I didn't know that there were so many embezzlements that go on a daily basis. I didn't realize how many people scheme and try to develop and perpetrate scams. I guess I was naive, and I learned a lot, and I can spot these things coming typically, and I've learned to be able to recover, and I've been learned to pass on through experience what I've learned and maybe how people can prevent such devastation that could truly occur in their life. But a lot of good did come from this, and I learned a lot, and I didn't know that I'd ever do talk radio. I was bringing speakers to town that talked at the seminars, and we book them on all the radio and TV talk shows and newspaper interviews. And Eustace Mullins and others said, "Well, Tom, maybe you need to do more than just from behind the scenes. You know, you've created such an avalanche of a response here in Dallas that maybe it's time for you to do more." And so I felt led after this devastation that it was time to even be more of a frontliner. And so I bought time on a Christian station, 770 on the AM dial in Dallas, and started doing a program that interviewed these speakers. Because when I would take Eustace Mullins or Congressman Hansen or whatever speaker or whoever that I brought into town, I said, "Boy, why don't they ask good questions? Why don't they know more? Why don't they let the listeners ask the questions? Or why are they just there to pontificate and dissertate and entertain?" And so I decided, well, maybe I need to send my tapes out and see if I really have what it takes. And so I had an offer pending in Vegas, and the first offer came in Idaho, and many of the program directors said, "Well, it sounds like you've been doing this a couple of years." I said, "No, actually, just a few months on weekends." And they said, "Well, you obviously need to develop this talent, and that you will go far." And the vision for me was to take this cause and this crusade nationwide. And as a constitutionalist, as a Christian, as a concerned American, I decided to do that, and with help and prayer from others. And the show was an instant success in Idaho for 7 months, and then I replaced Chuck Carter at the Sun Radio Network. Chuck had split off and developed the People's Radio Network. And just almost on a lark, my general manager in Idaho said, "Well, maybe you could replace Chuck Carter." And I thought, well, I could at least call the Sun Radio Network. And they said, "Well, we pretty much made that decision, Tom, and we'll put your tapes in a stack here and whatever." And then I talked to the program director, and he said, "Well, you do have some talent. You might be able to cater to the audience that Carter's catering to, and I'll look at it some more." And I got a call the next day and said, "How would you like to come to the Sun Radio Network and replace be Chuck Carter's replacement?" And so I went to Clearwater, did that for 7 months, and then went off and did the program through Chuck Carter's People's Network for 2 years. And my listeners all know how Chuck Carter gave me, he severed his contract. I got the royal screw job through Mr. Carter. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that tonight, but that was a very well-deserved learning experience. Well-deserved in the sense that I think that any obstacle or challenge we face, we can learn and grow from and grow through. And if I would have been on Carter's network now, he would have dropped me like a hot tamale, because he's a 501c charter organization, and there's no way that he could have someone on like me that's indicted, that's in the face of Bush Reno and the murderers of Waco and Jellyfish Clinton. Now, it's not Jefferson. It's Thomas William Jellyfish Clinton. That's what the J stands for. It's not Jefferson. Poor Thomas Jefferson rolling around in his grave. I just couldn't imagine him thinking that a president like Bill Clinton could have his middle name, or actually take on his last name for his middle name. I guess I'm almost running out of breath here, because there's so much emotion pent up with the experiences of actually what I've encountered the last couple of years. And I guess one of the things I need to state here that's very important in my case is that the IRS agent that was investigating me from at least, let's say, mid 1988, his uncle was a member of our organization. His uncle was an investor in the peso program. He slipped and told my secretary during an interview that indeed that was the case. I had Paul Desfontes of the IRS whistleblowers call and talk to Mr. Burdine and talk to Mark Parsons, the agent on my case. And he confirmed the admission. I confronted Mr. Parsons and the U.S. attorney. So we now have admitted the admission that the IRS agent that has built his case against me, his uncle was involved in the investment program through someone else, and he also was a member of our organization. So I report this to the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Texas, and he says, Tom, what's this got to do with your case? I said, Mr. Webster, it has everything to do with my case. I said, are you trying to indict Mr. Burdine? Have you investigated Mr. Burdine? And he just got deadly silent. I said, was this entrapment? Why wouldn't you investigate this? Why wouldn't you have any interest in this? When the Dallas Morning News found out about my indictment, they said, Tom, anyone that was involved in the PESO program that they felt were ringleaders and that were guilty of some sort of crime, they were indicted, they were tried and sentenced in 88 and 89. Why now for you? And I said, that's the million-dollar question. Could it be that I'm on international shortwave? Could it be that I'm on 50 stations in the daytime? Could it be that we're telling the truth and exposing the criminals in government? I mean, we focus on government corruption, usurpation of power, fraud, deception. We do more to focus on the New World Order and daytime radio and the Federal Reserve and the Internal Revenue Service and the butcher, or actually the Butchmeister, I call Janet Reno, because Butch because of her sexual orientation, and butcher because she's responsible, because she said the buck stopped with her for the murders in Waco. She gassed them and burned them. Now, we also found out that the judge in my case, and it's Judge Barefoot Sanders, he is the superior judge, the chief judge for the federal, the Northern District of Texas. He was visited. Now, I have the article. The article was sent to me from a listener from the Dallas Morning News just a couple of days prior to the Kennedy assassination. He was the U.S. attorney at that time, Judge Barefoot Sanders. And in this article, the Dallas Morning News reporter was saying, what were you admonished by? Why was this LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, came in 2 days before to meet with the U.S. attorney. He said, why was he pointing his finger at you? Oh, we were talking about the weather. We were talking about the new federal court building. Now, I would like to know why Lyndon Baines Johnson, Vice President of the United States, comes in and is found pointing a finger and admonishing the U.S. attorney 2 days before Kennedy's assassination. And I think it's just a bit curious. But there's a lot that went on in my case. And so that's the judge that's going to be presiding in my case. Now, we have another element here. We had Norm Berger and a man by the name of Pete, and I don't know his last name. Myself and Dr. Jim Gambrell met with them. They were trying to track down money in the PESO program. They said, Tom, we can get the money back that you lost in your embezzlement, and we'll help you in this. So we said, well, we don't know who these guys are. They're acting like they're mafiosa figures, so we may as well just find out. Jim is a retired constable, and he's a nutritionist and a patriot and a good friend, and I've worked with Jim and known Jim for many years. So we met with this Norm Berger and this character Pete. Jim was armed, and so was Norman Pete. We met them in a sixth floor of a hotel room. It was a private suite, very large suite. They had more bank records than we had. And they said, well, that's our mafia connection here. Well, at this point, Norm Berger says, I can knock Steve Snyder off for $50,000. I said, sir, you don't seem to understand something. Number one, I don't want to see any harm come to anyone. And number two, I don't have $50,000. So they were trying to fish and see if I had any money, if I had benefited from this program. I was embezzled. And we had the bank records. And even my indictment shows they're indicting me for what Steve Snyder, President Johnson, he had many aliases, and Daryl Fritz did. So they've had a 37-count indictment. 18 of those counts are mere bank deposits, aggregate sum deposits, for my members, for a couple hundred members that I handle transactions for on a customary basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that clears the air for a lot of people who've been wondering just exactly what's going on.
But can you imagine, here they are, here is an IRS undercover agent trying to get me to pay him $50,000 to murder someone? I can't wait till we get a copy of this tape. They said they videotaped this meeting. So we have an IRS, and the other IRS agent investigating my case, his uncle was a member. His uncle was involved in this PESO program. So if I did anything nefarious, illegal, criminal, then why wouldn't they go after the IRS agent that's built the entire case against me?
Well, I've never understood, Tom, how government agents or police officers can go out and instigate these kinds of things, and then you get arrested, get tried for a crime that they actually thought up, set up, and set into motion.
Absolutely, and the most shocking thing was when I told them that I was not going to cut a plea agreement and I was willing and wanting to go in front of the grand jury, they gave me a quick message on my answer machine. So I flew in at my own expense to Dallas, voluntarily appeared in front of the grand jury. They thought they had it iced in, no, not a single care in the world, you know, easy as putting a hot knife through, sharp knife through hot butter. Well, it didn't happen that way. It took them 24 hours to deliberate. The U.S. attorney stormed out of the room and said, "You put on a fine performance, Mr. Donahue." The IRS agent that's been investigating me, they brought him in prior to, and I was sitting in the hall for an hour and a half. My only chance, the grand jury, they've had 18 months. Then they bring the IRS agent in afterwards to clean up. When you hear that your grand juries are rubber stamps, indeed they are.
Well, they're only rubber stamps because they're made up of sheeple. We've just recently discovered that the prosecutors in every city and every state has access to records to enable them to pick jurors that will return the verdicts that they want.
Absolutely.
And they also pick jurors according to information that they have that they can hang over their head, so that if they don't return the verdict they want, they can find themselves indicted for something a couple of months down the line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible. We don't have a justice system anymore in this country. We have a just us system, and the rest of us are left out.
Or criminal justice, because we have the criminals running the Justice Department.
Yes, but I think that this is all part of a grand plan to create a total breakdown of our society, our traditions, our moral structure, our family structure, and bring about a state of chaos so that the people, the good people of the country, will get down on their knees and beg somebody to take charge and restore order. And that's exactly what they did in Nazi Germany in the 30s, and that's exactly what's going to happen here. In fact, if you take two charts, the chart of what's happening in the United States in the last 15 years and the chart of what happened in Nazi Germany beginning about 1925, you'll see that they're parallel, and the exact same thing that happened then are happening now, even including the bringing back of Nostradamus' prophecies, the spread of occult religions and organizations, the proliferation of secret societies, and everything. It's
but you're absolutely right. The New World Order is sinister. It's satanic. It's the beast system that comprises of both. Actually, it's a tripod of economic, and it's political, and it's spiritual.
Well, I tell you, it is hidden behind the mask of what people have always thought were harmless symbols and patriotic symbols, and it's just not true, because the Washington Monument, ladies and gentlemen, is the symbol of the phallus of Osiris. Osiris represented the fire, the light, the sun, Lucifer. And if we don't turn this around, we're going to be sitting on top of that monument. We're all going to get the shaft royally, folks. So remember the purpose of this program. And I don't want you to believe anything you hear here or anywhere else. You all know that. You hear me admonish you on that all the time. But you've got to wake up. We must wake the sheeple, empower the people, and we must do everything we can to try to save freedom for the world. For those of you listening in foreign countries, you must, I'm sure, understand by now that if we lose our freedom in this country, there will not be allowed one man walking on the face of this earth to have freedom anywhere else either. So your future rests with ours. What would you?
I agree with you 100% on that.
Is there any parting comments you'd like to make? We got about 1 minute before we got to sign off.
First chance, besides my program, that I've had an opportunity to explain probably in more detail about my indictment, about how I got involved in the freedom movement. And I'm so glad, because you have a very large audience. I hear your name. I hear about your program throughout this great country when I'm traveling and visiting or talking with patriots. And I would just say that I'm glad that we'll be sharing a mutual sponsor. I look forward to a return to International Shortwave, like we've explained tonight, my program was hijacked without my permission, of course, and we will be returning somehow, some way, and prayerfully we'll be on very soon. But until then, many of the listeners will be able to catch me on their favorite news talk or Christian station, coast to coast and border to border. If they want to write to me, simply write to us at P.O. Box 0055, that's P.O. Box 0055, Dallas, Texas, 75372, 75372. The organization is America First. The radio program is America's Town Forum. And we just put, you know, we feel very strongly about the sovereignty and solvency of this country, and that we should focus within, and if we can solve our problems, then we'll be the beacon for the rest of the world. And Will, I thank you. I appreciate the gracious offer and the opportunity that we've had tonight, and hopefully we can do it again, perhaps on my program or vis-a-vis your program.
Great. I want to thank you for coming and being such a wonderful guest, and I know it's cleared up a lot of questions that we couldn't answer here, and nobody else really knew the answer to. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you don't miss our later show tonight, which is 9 Pacific, 10 Mountain, 11 Central, and midnight Eastern Standard Time. We're going to have a special guest if we can get him. We're trying as hard as we can. We've been told that he will be here. If he is, you don't want to miss it. If he's not here, I have something else to give you that's equally, if not more, important. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. You, ladies and gentlemen, that what's coming is not going to be nice. If you're not right with God, get there.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we